Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
All right. Well, you know, it's the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. We're 30 minutes early. I, of course, am the Big Jack, and that means Schomburg Stew is here. I think. I hope. All right. Let's try this one more time. We will put Stew back on hold, and then we will bring Stew back in. There you go. Stew, did it work that time?
I think so. Can you hear me now?
There we go. Yeah. I don't know why we've been having these issues as of late, where for some reason the switchboard does not allow me to bring somebody in on the first shot. But anyways, we worked it out. If you would like to call in and talk to Stu or I, or possibly both of us, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to do it. Anything else you need? Head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so if you didn't see yesterday's, it's still hanging around for you right there. You could check that out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can still find me on Twitter. I am definitely out there at Burke Time. I haven't found one of Stu's Burner's accounts yet, but one of these days we're going to come across one, so keep looking. We will definitely right. Run that down for you. So. Now, I found this, I don't know if you want to call it interesting or humorous or however you want it, but Stu and I trade multiple emails during the day, and he's been really down on Chris Bryant. Now, interestingly, the Minnesota Twins have a young, up-and-coming third baseman by the name of Miguel Sano, who has really, really had his struggles this year. You know, he was injured early in the season, came back having some issues. Well, they demoted him today. Now, Sano was an all-star last year. They demoted him. You think, okay, well, you know, he's going to go to AAA, get some at-bats. No. They sent him to... So I don't know. What do you think about that one?
That's quite a shock. I think you'd think that the guy would be demoted to AAA, right? But not the case this time around. He must be really having an awful season.
Yeah, he is. He's at 203, 7 home runs, 27 strikeouts in 148 at bats. Though he struck out 66 times.
He's only one home run behind Chris Bryant.
So, yeah, and he did miss. I can't remember if he had a hamstring or a groin or one of those wonderful baseball injuries, but
he was out for
a bit of a stretch there, because I know this because I have him on one of my fantasy teams. So
I don't think that the Cubs are going to do to Bryant what they did to Schwarber last season, however.
No, I would be kind of surprised. I'm trying to look here to see if they have their reasoning for sending him to AAA. It seems like it's just kind of generic. They were quoted as saying that they wanted to take a step back and black canvas this, and they wanted the most supportive. So there you go. That's what they got.
Whatever black canvas means, I'm not sure about that one.
I got me there, but that's what they're going with. So we'll have to we'll have to see how that goes. But with him going down, one of the better names in baseball, Jake Cave, gets to stay up apparently with the Twins. So
I assume that he's been doing okay this year. His level is,
yeah,
he just brought up.
I don't know. You know, they've got Joe Mauer coming back off the DL here real soon. So base, so they needed to do something. I mean, hopefully this helps out, you know, a struggling hitter, especially for me. Like I said, I have him in fantasy. I need him to start hitting. So
yeah, that would help you, I'm sure.
You know, that could be a big, big plus for me. But since it is, you know, it is Thursday, we do have some finals already in the books. We have four games already done. The Indians actually beat the White Sox for a change today, 5-2. Mike Clevinger got the win. Chris Volstead took the loss, and Cody Allen got the save. The Tigers beat the Twins, while we were talking about that earlier, 3-1. Michael Fulmer got the win. Save in that game. The Phillies beat the Rockies 9-3. Vince Velasquez got the win, and German Marquez took the loss. And it looks like the last official final we have is the Giants beat the Marlins 6-3 in 16 innings. Ty Black got the win. I'm going to guess this is Easler. Hernandez took the loss. I'm going out on a limb there. And then Sam Dyson got a save. There's one game going on right now. The Astros are beating the A's 7-3 in the bottom of the eighth inning. So there you go. You're all caught up.
Hey, I didn't realize there were so many.
Yeah, well, you know, it is getaway day, as they like to call it.
That's
for
true.
Some of these teams. So
that is true. Well, the Cubs have a well-deserved day of rest, which they sorely need after their great offensive performance over the last two games.
Yeah, and then, you know, we do have some, you know, the big interesting matchup tonight. The other games on the schedule, Tampa Bay is at the Yankees. It's Blake Snell and Domingo German. That game's actually on FS1. They're showing a weekday game. The Padres are at the Braves. It's Tyler Ross against Anibal Sanchez. The Mets are at the Diamondbacks. It's Jason Vargas against Matt Koch. I think they're calling him Cook. And then the big matchup here tonight, the Boston Red Sox at the Seattle Mariners. It's David Price going for the Red Sox against the King, Felix Hernandez for the Mariners here. So, you know, we got a battle of, you know, surprising first-place team, at least in the Mariners' case. You know, the Red Sox have the best record in the American League. And Seattle is a half a game ahead of Houston, so they'll probably be tied here after Houston puts the A's away for the day. So I don't know. They go west. It's a farther trip for the Red Sox. How do you think they'll do out there against the Mariners?
Well, they've been very tough all season, although I believe this is an oddity, by the way. I don't know if you noticed the standings today in the East. The Yankees are percentage points ahead in first place, but they're actually one game behind Boston. So I'm wondering if Seattle will get a decent crowd tonight. Will Seattle draw tonight for that game?
Yeah, well, you know, I think they normally do pretty well, especially when Felix is pitching. You know, they got the King's Court and everything, you know, and all those kind of things that go along with. So you got to think, I mean, if you're going to go out, you know, this would be the day to go, right?
You would, one would think so, with two top teams battling it out.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, you got two former Cy Young Award winners. So, you know, Boston, you know, they travel pretty well as a road team also. You know, they're one of the, you know, as the way they're covered, I mean, they kind of have universal recognition. So,
well, it certainly looks like that's going to go down to the wire in the American League East this season between the Yankees and Boston.
Yeah, well, you know, the American League, you know, I mean, the races have been, you know, tight, but like the East is so weird because, I mean, we know it's just two teams. You know, it just seems, well, one's going to win and the other one's going to have to play the wild card game. You know, the Central, you know, I think we just got to write that off as the worst division in baseball. I mean, it's Cleveland and a bunch of kind of misfits that are, I think every other team is rebuilding in that division except for the Twins, who are just having a horrible year. And then, you know, the West is a bit of a surprise. I don't think anybody had Seattle hanging around in first place. You know, we know Houston's good, but, you know, the Angels are five games over 500 and the A's are...
Yeah, that's a strong division.
You know, that's been a bit of a surprise. I mean, I guess we'll have to see if or who decides to, you know, to make the move there. If somebody goes out and gets a big guy to kind of shore things up, or, you know, maybe they have a prospect they can call up to work things out.
Yeah. You think Oakland and the Angels will actually try to go out and make a move around the in July after the All-Star break?
You know, I think if the Angels can hang around here where they are, I think they would. You know, you kind of look at the team, and, you know, they're just at 500, which actually puts them 10 games back in their division. You know, it's just it's kind of humorous because, you know, if they were in the Central, they would be they would actually be the first place team. So, you know, that's. Or actually, no, they would be the second-place team, but they would only be a couple games behind Cleveland. So,
right. That's right.
You know, looking at how their roster is constructed and kind of the way they do things, I just don't, you know, I don't know kind of sell it to bring somebody in. You know, and then you'd have to wonder who they might try to go get.
Yeah, I doubt myself that it's going to happen. I don't think they're going to bring anybody in.
You know, like, I wouldn't be surprised if they make some minor adds and they add some bullpen help, or, you know, I mean, maybe if things work out for them, you know, they wander into like a power hitting outfielder. You know, because they don't really have much power in the outfield, you know, because Chris Davis has it, but obviously he's their designated hitter. So that's an odd possibility for them. But, yeah, other than that, I mean, there's just not I think it would be too big of a hurdle, I guess, because, you know, you've got three teams ahead of you and you're just 500.
Too many teams ahead of you to make any kind of a move, I think. To really put you in true contention, that's just too much. And it's hard enough for the third place team to do that. Sometimes it doesn't happen to them either. Remember what happened with the White Sox many years ago when they were, what, four games behind but with a month and a half to go, and they gave up the season?
Yeah. So... They shipped everybody off, I believe it was to the Giants. So,
yeah.
But now, you know, I have to ask you, you know, last night we had a collision at home plate. We don't have too many of these anymore that turned into, you know, I guess we'd have to call it more of a scuffle. I don't believe there were any punches thrown. It was just a lot of pushing and shoving. I know both players were ejected. I'm hoping, you know, neither guy gets suspended or anything like that, because I don't think the catcher had a choice because that's where the throw took him. But in return, what was, you know, Matt Kemp supposed to do? And it didn't look like he really, like, lowered the shoulder and tried to take him out like a linebacker would or something like that. You know, he kind of put his arms up to his chest and – more or less, you know, knocked the guy down. He didn't really, like, slam into him. Did you get a chance to catch this highlight? I was kind of wondering what your take was here.
I read about it, and I didn't catch what actually happened. I just read about it. But that would be not even considered 10, 15 years ago, but now it just doesn't seem like it's a thing to do. They're a baseball. So... it looked like, from what I read, it looked like he actually tried to barrel into the catcher and knock the ball out of him, out of his glove. And I guess it doesn't go anymore nowadays. As I said, 10, 15, 20 years ago, you wouldn't even think about it twice. But it didn't seem like it was all that severe a collision from what I read.
Yeah, I get it. You never want to, you know, especially in today's game, they don't want this. You know, this is something they're attempting to kind of legislate out of the game. But, it, you know, it really, it was just kind of all the pieces put together where
the attention on the other option was to stop
cold and give himself up. And, you know, you don't want to do that. I mean, as a player, you know, as his teammate, you don't want to see him do that. So
no, not at all.
I think he did the right thing. And like I said, there didn't seem to be any malicious intent or, you know, anything like that. It was just kind of a baseball play. So we'll have to see how they handle it or what they, you know, what they kind of decide to do. But yeah, it was just,
I was going to say that I could think of one old school Hall of Famer that would not enjoy playing in today's era of baseball. That would be Ty Cobb.
Yeah.
He would not like playing nowadays. You've heard many of his stories.
Oh.
When he came into the second base with his spikes high. Sharp. He actually sharpened his spikes, by the way, so he can inflict more damage on his opponent and get the ball knocked out of his hand. So I don't think that goes anymore now. But I'm sure you've read some of his... he was pretty nasty as a player.
I don't think they could interview him either, didn't they? Because I always heard he was, you know, everything I've read always said he was quite the racist. So I don't think his interview...
Yes, that was also true. I didn't want to mention that, but that's true. He was quite a racist. Not a nice human being, but a great ball player.
Yeah, fantastic player, you know. But yeah, not a good person.
That's for sure.
So, you know, but yeah, sadly, you know, there are quite a few people like that. That you know, but yeah, you know, a lot of I'm sure you remember. I mean, plays at second base, guys used to roll into middle infielders. You know,
yeah,
to try to take them out.
Yeah, I told you that story about kicking the ball out of the second baseman's glove and kind of praised for being a hard-nosed, tough ball player when he did it.
So, yeah, now, you know, they would, you know, crap all over that guy. You know,
yeah,
like, oh, my God, I can't believe he did
games.
That.
Yeah.
You know, look at what he did. That's terrible that he would, you know, he would do something like that. And yeah, he needs to be suspended or out of the game or, you know, it'd be like, oh boy, here we go. So,
yeah, I think they go a little too far sometimes with these, some of these rules.
I understand you want player safety. I mean, you know, we don't want to see guys getting hurt. I understand that, but yeah, it's just kind of a little out of control with it. You know, I mean, like you can't look at a guy anymore the wrong way.
Yeah, and I think most of the controversies this season have come on home plate, plays at home plate, a couple at second base, but most of them, I think, most of the reversals and studies and changes of the out to safe, vice versa, have come from the player going into home. They have to do some more legislature about that and get that thing straightened out one way or the other.
Yeah, you know, like even yesterday, I mean, there was no place for Kemp to slide. So it's not like he had anywhere to go. You know, and I was just, you know, it's just kind of like, okay, you know, we're just a little... you know, little stuck here. It was just kind of everything added up where these two guys were going to run into each other. You know, luckily nobody got hurt. And, you know, it was about as clean as it could be when it comes to that kind of thing.
And from what I read, it didn't seem to last too long in terms of the skirmish that took place after that play was over.
No, you know, like I said, hopefully, you know, nobody gets suspended or, you know, there's nothing like that, especially Kemp. He's having a great year, you know, for the
yeah,
Dodgers,
yeah.
Just kind of, you know, kind of randomly out of the blue. You know, I mean, he was a salary dump in that trade when they brought him back from the Braves. And there was a lot of talk that they were just going to DFA him. And, you know, he was only going to be there for, you know, for a cup of coffee or however you want to look at it. And, you know, I don't know where the hell they would be without him.
Yeah, and they're, are they over 500 yet? Did they move over 500? Are they right around, still right around 500 right now? Or did
they
game or two over?
You know, that I'm not sure. Let me grab the standings here real quick, and I can let you know that here. Let's see. They are currently, they are 35-32, and they've moved into second place out west behind the Diamondbacks.
It looks like, well, maybe our prediction, or most people's predictions, will finally come true. At the end of the season, they'll be one of them first place again.
Yeah, you know, they're doing, you know, they're doing this obviously right now again, you know, without Kershaw again. So,
who seems to be always hurt? A great pitcher, but he has had his injury issues over the years.
He has an opt out in his contract. So, you know, you got to wonder. I mean, they've talked about a lot of, you know, big name guys, you know, the Harpers, the Machados, those kind of guys. You know, if Kershaw opts out, boy, man, how do teams handle that?
Yeah, some important decisions have to be made, and I'm not sure what they would do.
So yeah, I mean that, you know, I mean obviously, you know, because you start to look at them, and you know, like you said, obviously. Here, but I believe he's missed starts each of the last 3 years now because of injuries. I got to hunt up a player card here real quick and see what we got here. Last year he made 27 starts, and the year before that it was 21. You know, this year he's only made 8, and we're in June. So, you know, it looks like he's just going to end up in the 20s again. So,
low 20s at best.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, you know, you're looking at a guy with, you know, a career 2.73 ERA. You know, he's won 3 Cy Youngs and
top 5 in
Cy Young voting the last since 2011, so the last 6 or 7 seasons there. But yeah, I mean, you know, you gotta how do you equate that value if you're a general manager? I mean, you're Theo Epstein sitting there going, okay, he's a free agent. You know, how, you know, is he a $30 million pitcher? Is he a $40 million pitcher? You know, considering he's making 35, a little over 35.5 this year, I'm guessing the number he's going to be looking for is upwards of 40 or 50. And, you know, he is just...
If I were a general manager, I would think twice about that, though, because of his injuries. I mean, you got to take that into consideration when you make a decision on whether or not you want to pay him mega bucks, because he's had a history issue of injuries. So that has to be tempered into the equation.
Yeah, you know, but you know, there is, you know, always talk. You know, he's from Texas. And there was always talk that he would like to go back and play for the Rangers, you know, which was the team he rooted for growing up. You know, I mean, he would be a huge get for a team like that. So, you know, $45 million for, you know, figuring he's only 30, you're looking at what, 7 years? 7 years,
yeah,
with an option to 8? You know, I mean, are they going that route?
Certainly would boost them into being a contender as to where they are right now, assuming he stays healthy, and that's critical.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, if you're, you know, if you're sitting there next year, you know, and you're walking to, you know, you're walking to get your Sun Times, and, you know, the big headline is deal worth $360 million. What's, you know, what's your reaction going to be?
Yeah, it's a questionable thing now. I mean, it would be a non-issue except for the injuries that he's sustained over the years. I'd be kind of reluctant myself, but what about you?
Yeah, I would be a little more inclined to sign Kershaw than I would have been throw all that money at a Yu Darvish, because, you know, Kershaw has a much better track record where, you know, I mean, Darvish has been decent, but, you know, I don't know if you'd describe him as a superstar, where, you know, Kershaw has a superstar track record as, you know, one of the best in baseball. And, you know, the tough part is, I mean, if you're going to bring a guy like this in, that's what the market is going to be. So I don't think I would be upset if they made a move like that. But, yeah, like you said, then you just start praying for him to be healthy.
Right. Now, he's had some he has had some injury issues. Has he ever had the Tommy John?
You know, I don't believe so. He's never had – I don't think he's had the shoulder issues like a lot of guys had. I believe like his last one was just like it was bicep or tricep tendonitis, you know, which a lot of pitchers go through in spring training. They call it, you know, dead arm syndrome.
Right.
You know, his just apparently a little worse than, you know, he ended up going on the DL.
For is it for the standard 10 days or it'll be longer than that though, right? It looks like
with these things now, you know, you go on the 10-day DL and then you come off, you know, whenever you're actually ready to come back off. It's not a fine line.
If a player goes on a 10-day DL and he comes and he's not ready after that, what does the team have to do? Do they have to keep him there? Or, I mean, 10 days are 10 days, and then when that's up, what? Are certain rules have to be set in place? Either he comes back or give him a longer DL stint?
Yeah, he just gets to stay on the DL. Well, like here with Kershaw, he went on the 10-day DL June 2nd because he had a back strain. Well, you know, now it's June 14th. He's been on there he's been on there 12 days. They're not expecting him back till the beginning of July. So he's going to be on the 10-day DL for probably 30.
Yeah, so when you think about it, that 10-day DL thing is kind of a misnomer.
Yeah. So, you know, but it was one of those things, you know, the teams wanted it shortened because 14 was too long, you know, and now they can, you know, throw guys on and throw guys off, especially pitchers, you know, and get them back really quickly. You know, like if you need a fresh arm, you know, Yu Darvish magically has the flu, he goes on the DL, you know, you get a fresh arm up. You know, stuff like that. Or, you know, like last year, I know the Cubs fooled around with it because John Lester was tired. So they put him on the DL with, I think they made up like fatigue syndrome or something, you know, to get it. Or, you know, I'm sure the other team, you know.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, they could always take out Darvish's appendix if they had to really do something, another excuse for injury.
You know, but like, you know, you look at the Dodgers and you wonder how the heck they would be playing if they could just stay healthy. You know, not only is it Kershaw on the DL, but, you know, Hyunjin Ryu is back on the DL. He's not due back till the end of July with a groin. Your guy, your favorite former Cub, Rich Hill, is on the DL because he's still having blister issues. They do think it's possible he will return to pitch, oddly enough, against the Cubs next week. He's hanging out there. They just lost Walker Buehler to a rib injury. He was one of their minor leaguers they brought up who'd been pitching really well. He's going to miss at least 2 weeks. And then their top pitching prospect is Julio Urias. And he had shoulder surgery. He's pretty much done for the year. They're saying second half of this season, but I don't expect to see him in the majors. So, yeah, I mean, you know, you look at the team and they – they just kind of seem to be the injury-riddled team. You know, Kenta Maeda just came off the DL. You know, and it's just like they, you know, they've got four guys out of, you know, they basically have a rotation on the disabled.
Yeah, this year especially for them, I don't think it's always been that bad in terms of the Dodgers having injury issues. Not like the Mets, who have consistently had those kind of serious injury issues for the last several years.
Yeah, you know, another team who just can't seem to get any, you know, any kind of breaks or any kind of luck there. You know, it looked, you know, God, you know, they went to the World Series that year. It looked like they had a pitching staff that was going to dominate.
Right.
And I don't know if one of those guys has been on a full season since that year.
Well, you know, by the way, how Rich Hill is going to magically be healed, right? He'll take it to the schedule and say, as the Cubs, I'm okay, because he always heals the Cubs, no matter how he's been done, how he's done previously or how he's been doing for the season. He'll come in and pitch six innings and give up two hits. And I don't see how he can do it. Because his stuff
won't have any...
seem that great to me.
Yeah.
Of course, anybody
can
do
well.
Oh, but
all right, well,
lately.
Yeah, you know, my sadly, my FanDuel lineup did not money last night. I did get over 100 points thanks to Trevor Bauer, even though I think he took the loss against the White Sox. He still struck out, like, 12. So he racked up some points for me, but sadly I didn't hit. I got no home runs again. That's just kind of my thing. But I plugged them in again, and now this week is second base week for Home Run Derby. It's, you know, not a ton of games to pick from, so I had to get creative. So my home run guys tonight, I'm going with Gleyber Torres of the Yankees. He's hitting fifth in their lineup. Ozzie Albies of the Braves, he's their leadoff hitter tonight. And then I'm taking a shot here with Joey Wendell of the Rays. He's hitting fifth for them tonight. So that's my free home run derby entry. My actual FanDuel lineup looks like this. I'm going with Domingo Germán of the Yankees for $7,000 as my pitcher. My catcher first base slot back cost me $4,500. Second base, I got Jose Perella of the Padres. He's leading off for them. Cost me $2,600. Third base is Yoan Camargo of the Braves. He also cost me $2,600. He's hitting sixth for them. My shortstop is Kelte Marte of the Diamondbacks. He's hitting sixth in their lineup. Cost me $3,200. My outfield starts with Giancarlo Stanton of the Yankees. He's hitting third for them. Cost me $4,200. Back-to-back Yankees here. My next outfielder is Aaron Hicks. He's leading off for them tonight. Cost me $3,300. And then my outfield wraps up with Michael Conforto of the Mets.
He's in the leadoff
spot for them. And then my utility guy, the guy I spent the most money on for my everyday player here, J.D. Martinez of the Red Sox hitting third. Cost me $4,900. So that's where I'm going tonight for my FanDuel lineup. The league starts at 6:05, so you got plenty of time to get in if you're interested. But that's where I'm at. So hopefully we cash some money tonight. That would be nice.
It would be. Of course, we have a limited schedule tonight, so it's not as easy as would normally be. You must have taken some time to make those decisions.
Yeah, you know, I always kind of do a lot of reading.
Spend the money, you know, like,
spent a lot of money on Goldsmith, Stanton, and Martinez. So I had to kind of find some of those guys that I think can come through for low money. And doesn't always work. Sometimes, you know, you get lucky and you get a, you know, a $2,000 or a $2,600 guy who goes off and scores you, you know, 30 points. And, you know, you're all excited. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, like I think last night my sleeper guy, as you would call him, took the big squadoosh for me. So, you know, sadly that happens quite a bit.
You never know. You never know.
Yeah. So, you know, we shall
talk about baseball a lot, but I got to ask you a question on another sport. Did you see the article in the paper today about the hockey player?
What's the paper?
Newspaper.
No.
Oh, that's right. I'm the only guy that still reads the paper. But this actually I saw online. I don't know if you saw it or not. if you saw the article about the Washington player, the hockey player, he was slashed during one of the games, and it was his finger was half his finger was cut off. Did you read that?
Oh wow! No.
Yeah. They actually were able to stitch it during the intermission, and he came back on the ice for the rest of the game. Get a chance. I forgot the guy's name, but when you get a chance, check that out. It's an unbelievable article. What we've always been talking about, how much tougher the hockey players are than the rest of the sports. And my God, this goes beyond toughness.
Yeah. Here, I actually found it. It's Brooks Orpik, who was the defenseman for the Capitals, and he describes it as, he says his pinky kind of fell off. So, okay.
Unbelievable.
So, it just kind of fell off, and I kept playing. Went out there.
A few stitches and
Stanley Cup.
Right. Like I always talk about, a little tobacco juice, and he's ready to go.
Yeah, just amazing, just unbelievable. Guys go out and play with. I mean, that's just nuts.
A little crazy. And they used to do that in the NFL too, by the way. And but not anymore. Now it's a more PC league. They wouldn't let you get away with it anymore. But I remember one time Sayers was really injured. He couldn't possibly play for the game, and George Hill. Hey, you are playing today. And he said, yes, sir. And he played.
Yeah, well, you know, remember one of the, you know, the famous ones from not too long ago, you know, Ronnie Lott was playing for the 49ers, and he had a severely injured pinky. And they wanted to take him out of the game, and he actually told them to cut it off. During the game, cut it off and I'll go back out there. And, you know, they were able to set it and make sure he didn't lose it and anything. And he finished the game. But that's just, insane. And then, I mean, we know here,
crazy.
Duncan Keith got hit in the lose like six teeth or something like that and actually swallowed some of them.
Yeah, and he came
went to the locker room, came back. So.
Yeah, just the toughness of the hockey players and they used to be very tough in football too, but now not quite as tough as they used to be. But it's not their fault. They would probably continue to play, but league rules prohibited.
Yeah, you gotta, everybody is much more. Used to be there, but you wouldn't be an NBA player without his pinky, unless he was LeBron James and he broke it against a whiteboard, or a chalkboard.
LeBron rumors? Was it now the Lakers? Is that the latest one that came up?
Yeah, I believe. Unbelievably, I think one of the casinos put out odds. And the Lakers were the favorites. I think they had four teams on the board. I know it was the Lakers, the 76ers. I think it might have been the Rockets and the Celtics. I don't know in which order, except the Lakers were number one. They were the favorite right away.
Yeah, which means they'll probably get them.
So,
who was the old school player that said that LeBron quit? I forgot who it was. You should remember that. During the playoffs, he said that LeBron quit on Cleveland.
Boy, there's actually a lot of guys lately kind of taking shots, so it's a little difficult to decipher, one it was. You know, like I saw Steven Jackson today make a really good point about the alleged broken hand.
Because he mentioned that after LeBron broke that hand, he actually
threw the ball off the backboard and dunked with that broken hand.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty impressive feat.
Well,
So
has it been confirmed, though? Has it been confirmed that he actually has a broken hand, or is that just speculation now?
You know, they had some kind of medical diagnosis that it wasn't an actual break. That's just what he described it as. So, you know, yeah, I don't know if maybe he had limited medical knowledge or whatever it kind of was, but that's, you know, that's the route he went. And, you know, we'll... So... You know, that's, you know, just one of those... One of those things. Was it Charles Barkley the only chance who took a shot at LeBron? I know he likes to do those kind of things.
You know, it wasn't Barkley this time. That's the first one I suspected. It wasn't Barkley. I just don't remember who said that.
Yeah, I'm just kind of looking here, but like I said, there's so many LeBron stories to, you know, to find just one is, you know, is kind of interesting. I did find an interesting thing. I'm, you know, you probably don't remember who. First round draft pick last year, he was number one overall, and he mentioned how Kevin Durant broke the NBA by joining the Warriors. He really called him out on not trying to do it on his own, and, you know, mentioned how he would prefer to do it himself than go somewhere else to do it the way Durant did it. And I was kind of surprised to hear, you know, a new school guy kind of come out like that, because, you know, normally they're all, you know, rah rah, yeah, you know, go get it, you know, those kind of things. But he had a real hard strategy because, like you and I have said before, you know, we would have never seen a Jordan or a Magic or a Bird do anything like that.
Well, that's speculation. Probably right, but the league has changed over the last, 10, 15 years now, and with more and more free agency and players trying to go to a winning team. So it's a different temperament, a different era, different attitude. But that was kind of a tough remark that he made. And I guess Durant made the right decision, though, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, you know, if he wanted to win championships, you know, it definitely... So, you know, we'll have to see. You know, they have the draft coming up, so I got to see. They have their latest mock draft up. I want to see who they have the Bulls picking here with their nice
number seven,
nice top
they
pick.
They wound up losing one number on the lottery.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen too often.
This one goes from 30 down. So here you go. They have a pick at number 22. You know, they own that draft pick. On this projection, they say they're going with Chandler Hutchinson, who is a shooting guard out of Boise State. And then let me get all the way down to number six. We can find out about who they think is the best fit at number seven. 10, 9, come on, 8, there we go. 7, they're going with, oh boy. They think the Bulls will take Trey Young, who is the point guard from Oklahoma. So.
Well, what do you think of that possible move on the part of the Bulls?
I think that is incredibly horrible. You know, the guy started out really well, and they started comparing him to Steph Curry, and then he went straight downhill after that. So
there was talk about the Bulls that the guy's still available, getting some center with the huge wingspan. I forgot his name now, but I think the guy will probably go before the Bulls have a chance to get him. I'm trying to remember his name, but
I hope it's Mo Bamba, because I like to say the name. So
yeah, I think you may be right. You might be right. Your knowledge always impresses me.
I just like the name. You know, those things kind of stick with me. So
that's a good name.
It's
a good name.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know, yeah, it will be, you know, it's always kind of, you know, interesting to see, you know, what, you know, who gets picked where and, you know, how it kind of goes. And I do like the fact that time, so you can actually watch it, you know, unlike the first couple rounds of the NFL draft where, you know, teams sit on the clock for 15 minutes and don't do anything. And then 30 seconds later, they run in, you know, their pick. Here you go. Well, what'd you do for 15 minutes? Nothing. We just sat here. So.
Yeah, they have a break. The draft is on a Thursday normally, right? And when is it coming up?
Yeah, you know, normally they have it odd, surprisingly during the week, which is which is kind of interesting. You would think they would set it up on that's last year's. That wouldn't do us any good. June 21st, so a week from today.
Yeah. Well, that was right about Thursday, so, at least. And it's coming up soon.
Yeah. Look at for next week when you fill in for Dan, you can have your draft preview all ready for us.
Yeah. I'll have it all top 10 all laid out and see how close I come to being accurate.
So hopefully, you probably do a lot better than I do football.
Yeah, it's always hard for me to get really super excited about the draft choices for the most part because it's such a crapshoot. I mean, the guy's going to be a solid player or is he going to be a bust? With a few exceptions, you know, someone's going to be good but in the first two or three choices. But after that, you just don't know, as the Bulls have found over the past few years.
You know, and then even sometimes you get those top picks and, you know, they don't work out. You know, I mean, especially in the NBA, it seems like a lot of number one guys bust out.
Right. Yeah, I always enjoy the Bulls' choice of Tyrus Thomas, right? How that worked out for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it was humorous because, you know, he was a great athlete. Into basketball.
Yeah, that turned out to be one of the worst choices. I forgot who they could have got somebody instead of him, a real solid NBA player.
I believe it was LaMarcus Aldridge.
I believe you were right. I was going to say that, but I wasn't. I don't want to admit that if I were wrong. I said, but I thought it was Aldridge. Yeah, that's right. They could have got him, and he had a nice career, to say the least.
Yeah, the way it's set up, 2006, the Portland Trailblazers, because of the way the NBA does it, technically selected. You know, you don't find out until the trades, until afterwards. And, they swapped him for LaMarcus Aldridge, who the Bulls took with the second pick in that draft. And Aldridge, by the way, is still playing in the league. He plays for the Spurs. So...
long, productive career.
Yeah, and Thomas retired, I don't know if he officially retired, but he played two games back in the 2014-15 season for Memphis. That was it.
Yeah. And
so.
I only made a few bucks out at least playing in the league for quite a few years. But
oh, yeah. That was a top pick like that. Some pretty good paycheck. But never turned out. You know, not that he's the only one. I mean, you could go back through the NBA draft, and there is, I mean, flop after flop. With the way it kind of worked out. Humorously, Aldridge went second in that draft. The first pick was Andre Bargnani by the Raptors, and the third pick was Adam Morrison. Neither guy did much. So,
well, I always think of the Bulls picking Michael Jordan at number six.
You know, just all because, you know, the Trailblazers wanted a big man, so they took Sam Bowie.
Yeah. 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 And how'd that work out for them?
Imagine how different things would have been if they would have selected Jordan and left the Bulls with Bowie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
somehow I don't think they would have won six titles in 8 years.
No, you know, you wonder if they would have been, you know, because, I mean, obviously the smarter move the Bulls made was, you know, not only drafting Jordan, but then surrounding him with guys like, you know, Pippen and, you know, Horace Grant for a little while and, you know, the guys they
so. Yeah,
they made some shrewd moves. As Jordan always used to like to call them, their supporting cast.
You know, and I know Jerry Krause gets a lot of crap. Because, you know, he's a big fat guy. But, yeah, he, you know, I mean, I know in the end it got a little out of control, but, you know, he was right on there in those early years with Jordan and stuff, making those picks and those deals.
Yeah. You can't take that away from him, that's for sure.
So.
Later on, though, some
you know,
of
and that's all.
Making him, yeah, it wasn't quite as good.
Yeah, you know.
Wonder if maybe
he thought, you know, like we always like to say when we're playing fantasy baseball that they think they're the smartest guy in the room. And you wonder with after a little success if he just started to think he was the smartest guy in the room.
Yeah, and got to his head.
Because, yeah, he made some odd, you know, like when they tried to rebuild, you know, and it was, what was it? It was Eddie Curry and Tyson Chandler. Who, oddly, I believe Chandler is actually still playing in the league. He's a backup center
yeah.
somewhere. You know,
yeah,
that's kind of humorous. He ended up very long. But, yeah, that, you know, that didn't work. So.
Well, I always tell you the story about when they selected Eddie Curry, I was immediately upset about it because I saw him play in the championship game in high school, and Schaumburg upset the team that he played for. Was it Thornridge? I don't remember now. But he looked like he was fatigued in that game and didn't seem to have much in the way of stamina. And as it turned out, well, he didn't have much in the way of stamina.
Yeah, humorously,
in
for a
NBA
summer
well.
At my job, I kid who played on that Schaumburg.
So. Oh, yeah, they had a heck of a team. That was their only championship.
Yeah, you
get it. I mean, another one of those, you know, picks. You know, he looked like he had, you know, he looked like he had tools, and it just never developed.
Never developed. I guess some people say he was just too nice to be an NBA player, and maybe there was some truth to that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But you know, and that's the thing. I mean. You know, when you kind of start to look at it, is Derrick Rose a bust? You know, I mean, he was an MVP, but he didn't win any championships.
No.
So.
Yeah, that's a good point. Is he a bust? Has he been a bust? And, well, you got to say yes, but it's not really because of his lack of talent. It's because of those horrible injuries that he incurred over the years that did him in. And
so,
he
yeah,
was a strong
I,
guy, but maybe, yeah, I don't know. He was a strong guy, but perhaps there was something about the wear and tear of the NBA season that eventually got to his frame. I don't know. It just a horrible thing. But at first, he never recovered from the first injury, and that led to other injuries. But as you pointed out, he was MVP, had a terrific first couple of years, but it went downhill after that. And I'm not sure if he's going to retire now or not. He's going to try to play another season. I'm not sure what his final decision was at the end of this season.
Well, here you go. I just kind of, you know, for the heck of it being, you know, NBA first-round busts to see what would come up. And, you know, a lot of the names I remembered, you know, here and there, but this one came up. And I zero idea who this guy was. He actually turned out to be the fifth pick overall in the 2002 draft by the Nuggets. This guy's name is Shiskaville. It's a TSKITISHVILI. He was a 7-footer. That I don't ever remember seeing play, but he spent 3-4 years in the NBA, played 172 career games. and had a career scoring average of 2.9 points per game.
Yeah, that talk about a bust. A pure 100% bust, huh?
Yeah, but oddly, he's still in Europe.
Yeah, some of the this obviously was a European player, I would imagine, right? This 7-footer that you talked about. Well, there've been a few that have made it from Europe into the NBA successfully, of course. So they're not always a bust.
So it's just kind of strange, you know. I mean, you get the good with the bad, like anything else, and I think you know everybody just likes talking about the busts more. So. But yeah, there are, there are quite a few of them. They're not all European players either. There's quite a few, you know. Remember the Cavaliers, Bennett, number one overall out of UNC, and he'll go down as one of the greatest all-time busts as the number one pick of the draft. So,
yeah, certainly one of the top five in terms of busts.
Yeah. So. You know, it just kind of works out that way. Again, you know, the good with the bad. I mean, I think every sport has a long line of them. If you were to go through them, you know, you could find baseball guys or football guys or, you know, even hockey guys. So.
Yeah, I can think of Corey Patterson comes to name right off the bat, the Louis.
Yeah.
He played a few years in the majors.
Yeah, you know, he managed to hang on.
Yeah. How about Felix PA? A superstar.
So. Yeah, you know,
Before your time, Adolfo Phillips. I always tell you about Adolfo Phillips. You may have read about him. I always said that what DeRosa said about him, he's an ex Willie Mays. Not quite.
You know, one of those things. I'm trying to remember. You know, there was the catcher the Mets took. You know, one pick ahead of Reggie Jackson. That you know just kind of didn't work out. You know, and of course it just kind of adds to it when the fact is you could have had Reggie Jackson. So
yeah, exactly right. In retrospect, though, you never know. You try to do your due diligence, and I'm sure there's a lot of talented scouts out there and person any of the sports that we're talking about. And it's a surefire player that they select, and for whatever reason, it turns out to be a bust.
You know, remember, you know, at one point in time, Josh Vitters was going to be the Cubs' future third baseman, not Chris Bryant.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Again, just. You know, one of those odd things. You know, I mean, you can look good in college or high school, and then you get up against that major league pitching, and it's a different animal. So, you know, some guys shine, and other guys have their struggles, and they, you know. I'm going to go to the next one.